ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Yesterday we discussed Nityananda. So I trust that your ananda is continuing. It didn't finish yesterday. Krishna consciousness means Nityananda, Purnananda, Satyananda. Eternal bliss, complete and perfect bliss, and actual bliss. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu came to give the process of kirtan by which everyone can experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Just as I said yesterday, there's no Krishna Chaitanya without Nityananda, and there's no Nityananda without Krishna Chaitanya. So similarly, there's no kirtan without Shravan, and there's no Shravan without kirtan. Shravan means hearing, or someone has to say something, or sing something. There should be some sound to hear. Of course, reading is also considered an extension of the Shravan process, because someone has done kirtan by writing. But that's also kirtan. Kirtan doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a sound. The basic idea is that of glorification. To magnify the kirti of Krishna. To magnify, we cannot magnify, but we can open our mouth and say Hare Krishna, or glorify Krishna, or speak about the glories of Krishna, and in this way become purified. To speak about the glories of Krishna. So, kirtan, there must be shravan, there must be some receptacle for that also. It's not just calling out in the forest. In Sanskrit literature we find Aranya Rodhanam Nyai, which corresponds to the English saying crying out in the wilderness. Aranya Rodhanam means crying out in the forest. In other words, you call out but there's no one to hear. This crying in the wilderness means particularly someone is seeking help but there's no one to help. There might be someone to help, but you say you're calling for help, you're asking people to help you in a distressful situation, but no one wants to help. So you say it's like crying in the wilderness. It's as if no one was there. Nobody cares. So chanting about Krishna means to invoke Krishna, because Krishna is non-different from his name. When we chant, Krishna also hears. Krishna hears everything. But he's especially happy to hear devotees chanting his name and his glories. So kirtan means there must be shravan. Nama kirtan. Generally we think kirtanam means nama kirtan. But we find in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, that among the nine processes of devotional service, an example is given of a devotee who exemplified or became perfect by a single process, and the example for kirtan is Vyasaki, Shuka Rishi, Shukadev Goswami. So his kirtan was by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So hearing is also required. Otherwise, there may be kirtan, but it will not be sankirtan. In the sense, sankirtan means bahubhya milidva yad kirtanam iti sankirtanam. When many come together, there's the idea of sam. The prefix sam gives the idea of sangha, many coming together to chant. And it can also be understood to mean samyak kirtan, means complete kirtan. So complete kirtan means with complete understanding of who Krishna is, complete dedication to Krishna. Otherwise, it is possible to chant with misconceptions. The Mayavadis may also chant the name of Krishna, but their understanding of Krishna is incorrect. So the chanting of Hare Krishna, that should lead to Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleansing of the heart, Bhavamaha Davagni Nirvarpanam, quelling the forest fire of material existence, and ultimately Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, to increase the ocean of transcendence. Well, all the stages there, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam Bhavamaha Davagnam, and Pratipadam Purnamritas Vadanam. By chanting the holy names, one should come to the platform of tasting the nectar for which we are always anxious at every step. But this does not happen if the chanter is an offender, or if the chanter is cultivating a wrong conception about Krishna. So Shravanam is very important. It's essential. There's no proper kirtan unless we properly understand who is Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example. Just as Krishna means Radha Krishna. Krishna is complete. He is the supreme truth. So he's complete. But his completeness is better appreciated with Radha. He himself feels himself incomplete without Radha. So there's just as there's no Krishna Chaitanya without Nityananda, no Nityananda without Krishna, no Kirtan without Shravan, no Shravan without Kirtan. There's no Krishna without Radha, no Radha without Krishna. Of course, we hear that Krishna sometimes goes outside of Vrindavan. And then we have Vasudeva Krishna, means Krishna without Radha. But just as there is possibility of kirtan, which is not fully glorified Krishna, so Krishna does not fully manifest his potencies, his love that is especially meant for Radha. But actually, when Krishna is outside Vrindavan, he's also thinking of Radha, and Radha is always thinking of Krishna. And in this way, Krishna never goes outside Vrindavan. Some people questioned why Srila Prabhupada had named the deities of Radha Krishna, who he had established in Delhi, as Radha Partha Sarathi. Partha Sarathi, okay, we understand Pandavas. Delhi is the historic site of the capital of the Pandavas, the capital founded by Maharaj Hasti, Hastinapur. So, okay, Partha Sarathi. Although you might have thought it would be Yudhishthira Bandhu or something. But Srila Prabhupada, someone protested that when Krishna is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that Radha isn't there. But Prabhupada said, no, his Saladini Shakti is always there. He's not without his Saladini Shakti. Who is Radha? So, Krishna, he never forgets. Radha, and she never forgets him. So there's no Krishna without Radha, and no Radha without Krishna. No Shravan without Kirtan. Shravan means someone has to speak, someone has to hear. So the two go together. And for Kirtan to be proper, there must be a proper speaker or chanter. One who chants for the sake of pleasing Krishna. Krishnarthe kila cheshta. In a devotee's life, everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. So everything should be done. That means even if one is brushing one's teeth, should be for the satisfaction of Krishna. Well, how can you brush the teeth for the satisfaction of Krishna? Well, it's with the understanding that we're doing everything. The life is completely meant for Krishna's service. So brushing the teeth is meant to maintain dental hygiene so that one can keep the body fit for serving Krishna. So even, it may sound very strange, but even in a devotee's life, even passing stool is indirectly part of devotional service. Because his life is dedicated to Krishna, so passing stool is also a bodily function. His body is only meant for serving Krishna. So as long as he's in the material world, he undertakes the bodily functions only to keep the body in working order for serving Krishna. So it's not one of the nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Stulapasanam, Stool Upasanam. Well, that's for the Mayavadis. They like to worship stool. As I found out many years ago in Patna, I think you all heard that story before. Is it? You heard me say that before? No, you don't know? You didn't hear that? I said several times. Once, this was a long time ago. Must have been sometime in the 1980s. I was walking on a street in Patna, some suburban area. Means there wasn't much traffic. And some young men stopped and spoke to me and asked what I was doing. And so I was explaining about Krishna Bhakti. And one middle-aged man came up. He's probably a guest of Yamaraj now, and he heard me speaking, because I would guess he's died by now. No loss to the world. So he came up and I was talking about we should glorify Krishna, and he said, "Why Krishna? Why Krishna? Why? God is everywhere. Why Krishna?" So there were some pigs strolling around here and there, as they are wont to do. So he said, "You can worship everything. Why do you want to worship Krishna?" So I said, "So you want to worship the pig? You're satisfied to worship the pig?" He said, "Yes." He said, "And you'll take the pig stool and worship that?" "Yes, everything is God." So he's protesting against worshiping Krishna, but he's prepared to, just to uphold his stupid idea, that he's prepared to worship the stool of a pig. So stool upasana is for the Mayavadis. And devotees, they may also, how do you discuss with a person like that? I mean, what discussion can you have if a person is so foolish that they're so much against the idea of worshipping Krishna that they'd actually rather worship stool? Anyway, he's probably getting his opportunity now. So, yeah, these are not direct activities, but... because even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he in giving directions for daily life for the Gauriya Vaishnavas, he said, Danta Dhavana, one should not exactly brush the teeth, but one should clean the teeth. So we'll find in all the sampradayas, they have their Nitya Kriya Padati, what you should do every day. And that's there. The regular activities of brushing the teeth, all these things. So it's not directly devotional service, but it is. But on the other hand, everything a devotee does is only for the satisfaction of Krishna. So it becomes devotional service. When a non-devotee brushes his teeth, it's not devotional service. When a devotee brushes his teeth, it is devotional service, as much as he wants to do it to serve Krishna. Of course, he may be brushing his teeth, thinking that I want my teeth to be very nice, because there's a very beautiful, young, unmarried Vaishnavi who I would like to perform devotional service with throughout the rest of my life. So, it's a mixed desire. He may even be thinking, yes, I'd like to marry her because she's a Vaishnavi, but it's mixed up. Some material desire becomes mixed with devotional service. Even that's better than just being a total materialist. I was just discussing with yourself, Narayana Das, about there was a car puja going on here outside the temple. So, done by one of the temple priests. So that goes on in our ISKCON temples also. Car puja, motorcycle puja. And that's been criticized by some devotees as not pure devotional service. Well, probably in most cases it's not pure devotional service unless the car or the motorcycle is to be used only for the worship of Krishna. But on the other hand, temples are for connecting people with Krishna at some level. Not everyone is expected to be a completely pure devotee of Krishna. So if they have the idea that, okay, I bought this car for my daily life, but let me first... Actually, car puja, you don't actually worship the car as such. The idea is that it's some paraphernalia to be used in the service of the Lord. Just like in doing puja, before you worship the Lord, you have to worship the bell and the plate. You worship the paraphernalia. Tadiyanam samarchanam. One should also worship the paraphernalia which is used for the service of the Lord. So it's connecting people at a level, we could say, of karma yoga linked. It's not really even karma mishra bhakti, it's bhakti mishra karma. But it links people at some level. The only thing is that our devotees, if they do it, they shouldn't come down to the level of the consciousness of the people they're doing it for. They should be able to lift people up. So they may do that, they may do, and then people, they'll give some dakshina, and they can give them some book of transcendental knowledge. As we're making temples in different parts of India, I also think it's a good idea to have a wedding hall attached and organize weddings for poor people without any fees, so they can have the feeling, I'm married in Krishna's temple. And that's why there are the sanskaras in people's lives. Of course, there's garbhadhan sanskara, and then the Simantonayana, and then there's Jata Karma. And it's to connect people's daily or life or their material life with Krishna, if it's done in a Vaishnava way. So I'm not wholly against car pujas or motorcycle pujas. If it's done with the understanding that it's linking people with Krishna. Otherwise, they may go to a Sai Baba temple to do it, or to a church. So at least there's some idea. Link them with Krishna, then they may sponsor prasad distribution. Some idea that this is our temple. Because temples, like, they're for the whole community. So there are Vaishnavas at different levels. So let them be. Of course, we have to keep a control on it. We don't want to have rock and roll kirtans in the temple. We have to be careful that how much adjustment is there. But some cultural adjustment can be there. Yesterday we sang a song of Bhaktivinod Thakur, in which he had composed in the bowel style, which is, bowel means very low class. But he composed a song in language which the common people could understand. He actually composed several songs to give them the message of pure devotion in the language that they can understand. So such questions as this, it can be maybe, maybe not. If we see that people forget the real purpose of the temple, and even the priests forget the real purpose, and they think the purpose is just to do pujas for people to collect some money, then everything is lost. Well, that's why there should be Shravanam Kirtanam. That's why it's required that there may be some periphery activities like this. But the central activities of the temple should be the... Actually, even more than the puja and arshana is the Shravan and Kirtan. That is most important. And the message of Godhead should be given in the pure form. That means following the acharyas directly from Shastra. In this way, the temple is supposed to be a tirtha. A tirtha is a place that you can enter in and go to the spiritual world. It's situated in the material world, but it carries us to the spiritual world. And the process is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Arjanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. These are the nine principal processes of Krishna consciousness. People who are very fortunate, they can hear about Krishna. People who are spiritually advanced can hear about Krishna. People who are not so advanced, they may come for darshan in the temple and see, according to their own understanding, they see the deity. But they have no proper idea who he is, how they're supposed to serve him, because they don't hear properly. But at least that's something. All right, they're coming. And if they can hear, if they can start to hear from pure devotees, then they can be benefited. There are different levels of hearing also. Generally, for the less intelligent people, they will listen to the Puranas, because they're stories. They like to hear the stories. But the proper philosophy can be put there. Srimad Bhagavatam is also a Purana, but it's not. It doesn't present anything but pure devotional service. So there are many stories. Actually, the stories in the Bhagavatam, They are, most of the stories therein are found elsewhere also, in other Shastras, in the Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Vedas, Shruti. But Bhagavatam, mostly the stories are given without many details. They're given quite concisely. And the teachings in Bhagavatam, the teachings are to be understood from each of these stories. They're given in more detail. When we say story, we don't mean some, like some novel that someone made up. Everything in Bhagavatam is factual, right? With the exception of those few narrations which are specifically stated to be allegorical, particularly the Narad spoke to Maharaj Prachinabharishat about Puranjan. So that's allegorical. Otherwise, everything is factual. So the Shravanam Kirtanam, this is the means of attaining the perfection of life. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shadha Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariye Udai. This is very important. A teaching from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita earlier this morning. Earlier today I stated that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is certainly nectar, and the narrations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are certainly very nectarian, in which we will experience great bliss by hearing them. But also in Chaitanya Charitamrita there are many important philosophical points and instructions which even they clarify, or they put into focus the texts of the Bhagavatam. The Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadha Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kareye Udoi. That pure devotional service is the inherent quality of every person, every living being. And it becomes reawakened in the conditioned souls by the process of Shravanadi. Shravanadi means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. The process of devotional service beginning with Shravana. So this could be understood, it's just two lines in Bengali, but that can be understood to summarize so many teachings of Bhagavata. For instance, the whole section in the second chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam, Srinvatang Swakata Krishna, beginning with speaking about hearing about Krishna. Narsha Prayesh Vabhadresh. How hearing about Krishna, that by Krishna's grace, that cleanses the heart, and then stitam sattve prasidati, one becomes situated in one's own actual position and happy, ato vai kavayo nityam. There's a whole section up to the verse beginning, ato vai kavayo nityam. Therefore, all the great sages, they have always happily recommended this process of hearing and chanting. So that Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kari, this verse, everything is there in the Bhagavatam, but the Chaitanya Charitamrita also encapsulates a lot of the philosophy. And we'll find that many of the philosophical points given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're also explained or shown, that their veracity is established by quoting from Bhagavatam and other Shastras. Hearing and chanting Shri Gaura. As I said, persons who are fortunate can hear. Those who are very fortunate. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One who is very fortunate among all the souls wandering around this material world, one who is very fortunate gets the seed of the creeper of devotional service. But then, you get the seed, then what do you have to do? Mali hoya shei bij kare aropan shravan kirtan jale kare shei cha. Having got the seed or the idea of devotional service, one has to become a gardener and cultivate that seed. The same idea is given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Krishna Anushilanam, cultivating devotional service. So one has to cultivate devotional service by the seed has to be planted in the heart. That means one has to take it. One has to take that with commitment and then water the seed of devotional service with hearing and chanting about Krishna. So not everyone can do that. Very fortunate people can do that. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of selling diamonds as compared to selling plastic bangles. The seller of plastic bangles has many customers. They're cheap. Everyone can afford them. Practically in India, even the poorest women, they all have some plastic bangles. Not nowadays because they don't decorate their bodies. They just wear some sloppy jeans and t-shirts and think they're being very fashionable. But up until a short time ago, they all wore plastic bangles. They break, then buy some new ones. That's all. They break frequently, then buy some new ones. They're very cheap. You can get some. So the plastic bangle seller always has many customers. The diamond seller doesn't have many customers. But he's richer than the plastic bangle seller. Because the plastic bangle seller has many customers, but little profit from each. But one he may sell one diamond in a week. But he makes so much profit that his income far surpasses that of the bangle seller. So there may not be many customers for that which is actually valuable. There has to be some qualification. The qualification to buy diamonds is one has to be sufficiently wealthy. The qualification to hear about Krishna in a method that will actually purify one, the qualification is that one has to be fortunate. Of course, there's no one stopping anyone. Everyone's welcome. In fact, I want to speak about that at length soon, how there's no material qualification for taking to bhakti. You can be literate, illiterate, pious, impious, which might seem to contradict the yeshang tvandagatang papam. It all has to be understood in context. But for when the Lord gives His mercy, then and it's up to anyone. He may give it to anyone. He's not bound by his statement, yeshang tvandagatang papam jananang punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajanti mangdiravar. He can give bhakti to whoever he likes. But, so bhakti, in that way, the Lord is independent. Bhakti is independent. But persons who are qualified by being eager to receive it, they will hear about Krishna. Not everyone will. Or there may be some cheap rendition of Krishna's pastimes. So people who are not very serious, they will do Shravan Kirtan, but in a manner that may not actually benefit them. They may fall in the category of Bahu Janma Kare Jadi Shravan Kirtan Tabuta Napai Krishna Pade Premadham. They may be performing Shravan and Kirtan about Krishna for many lifetimes and not attain the ultimate result of that chanting, which is pure love of Krishna. They might get mukti even to Vaikuntha. They might get going to the heavenly planets. They might get merging into the impersonal Brahman. But Krishna prema, they might not get. So how Shravan and Kirtan should be done? Kirtan, chanting the holy names, should be done with hearing. There's no Shravan without Kirtan, no Kirtan without Shravan. So actually hearing the holy name in a prayerful mood, praying to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, oh energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service." And with many devotees together, Bahube Militva Yad Kirtanam Iti Sankirtanam, with many devotees coming together, if they all have this mood of Samyak Kirtan, everyone is praying to Krishna, "Please engage me in your service. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkarang patitang maang vashame bhavam buddhau kripaya tavapada pankaja sthita dhuli sadrishan vichintya. Krishna, please accept me in the dust of your lotus feet. I no longer want to remain in this horrible material world. Pick me up. Make me yours. Tavaivasmi, tavaivasmi. I'm yours, I'm yours. Pick me up. Give me your shelter." So if everyone is having kirtan like this and praying like this, then the kirtan becomes spiritually very potent. It's not necessarily how loudly we bang the instruments or how high we jump in the air. It may not, these are good things. These should be encouraged. We don't want people falling asleep in the kirtan because it's just so, there's lifeless, there's no life. But yeah, that should be encouraged. Krishna also likes that. He likes that devotees sing and dance for his glorification. But always remembering, that's for his glorification and praying to him in a prayerful mood. Then the kirtan actually becomes very blissful. When there's Shravan, hearing the holy names. And we will desire to hear the holy names and actually partake in kirtan, praying to Krishna for his mercy, glorifying Krishna. If we hear the verbal explanations of Krishna's glories, Srila Prabhupada set up the temple programs so that we'd have every day immersion in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Everyday immersion in hearing and chanting about Krishna, starting from early morning, chanting in kirtan together with archan, offering arati to the deities, and then again chanting on beads, then again kirtan of singing, and then hearing Bhagavatam. Then your work. Most of our devotees don't have that opportunity. Living in the city, they get up in the morning, They brush their teeth. Maybe they chant a round or two. Maybe they have a Mangal Aarti. And then they have to get off to work or get the children to school or whatever. So we invite all the devotees to participate in Srila Prabhupada's farm communities, where grihasthas also can have a full morning program and evening program of Shravanam Kirtanam, where you don't have to rush off to the office because there's no office to go to. You're living there on the land, and what work you do during the day and morning and evening, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Otherwise, without profusely watering the seed of devotional service by Shravan and Kirtan, we can't expect it to grow very nicely. Especially if we are in a situation whereby we have to perform the one activity which is most detrimental to devotional service. And what is that? Associating with non-devotees. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is the behavior of a Vaishnav? The first thing he said is, asat sangatyag, a Vaishnavacha. But in the city life, most of our devotees, all day, every day, most of the time they spend associating with non-devotees. And little time they squeeze in to try and chant some rounds. So Srila Prabhupada had this idea, very mercifully, to make rural communities in which devotees can live simply and not associate with non-devotees, associate with devotees only. Translation stopped. You don't want to translate this? I guess they're on. So we can come together and have a full morning program and evening program every day, fully hearing and chanting about Krishna. No rushing off here and there, full of anxiety, breathing in poisonous air, eating poisonous food, drinking poisonous water, and thinking this is very advanced life. Associating with poisonous people. Cultivating the poison in our own minds. So these rural communities, they afford an opportunity for chaito darpana marjanam, purification of the heart by hearing and chanting about Krishna. The Shravan Kirtan camps are organized especially for devotees who don't have the opportunity to have immersion, regular immersion in Shravan Kirtan. But actually we're meant for that every day. So come to our daily Shravanam Kirtanam camp. Become immersed every day. Then you will have Nityananda and Krishna Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna and Shravan and Kirtan. Everything. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there unless there are any questions. Hare Krishna. Otherwise I could meet, if anyone wants to meet me, otherwise I'll be in the city, Krishna willing, for the next few days. But some devotees may be coming from a long distance. Otherwise there won't be much chance now, because we have another program in the evening. Okay, Hare Krishna. The Shravan Kirtan camp here is finished now. It'll relocate to Dilsukh Nagar. There's no Dilsukh. Only with Krishna consciousness. It's called Durasha. Natividu Swarthagatingi Vishnam Durashaya Ye Bahirata Maninas. People who don't know the goal of life, they take photos during the class instead of listening to what's being said. They don't know that they think that They think that they can be happy in this material world. They're wrong. They're dreaming. So, real dilsukh, happiness of the heart, is only possible in Krishna consciousness. So, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He's brought that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda. Of course, that was also going on, just like we're doing this program in the wedding hall of the Ahobilam Matam temple. So they have a very long tradition of worshipping Narasimha. And in the spirit of true Vaishnavas, they're very welcoming to us. We should appreciate that. And they very much appreciate the kirtan. They're calling us every day. When are you going to come and do kirtan? They're telling us. Come and do kirtan. So they're real devotees. So that spirit is still there in some people. Actually many people, still in India, despite so much materialistic and atheistic propaganda, there's so many people, if they're given the chance, they will take to pure devotional service. So we have to cultivate that ourselves and give that to others. Of course, many people are interested, but they're attracted to Krishna consciousness, but at the same time, they have misconceptions, attachments to wrong philosophies and wrong gurus. So, preaching is required also to help people to make the transition from Maya to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.